You know, if you're an artist and you are counting on people responding positively to who you are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. And then you go home to a family life where you're also not receiving identity value, or someone isn't saying, yes, you're good enough.
Yeah.
And so that affects at the core who we are.
We consider it the number one fundamental foundational, most pressing human need. We say you can go without food for weeks, without water for days. You can go without oxygen for minutes. You really can't go without identity for more than about 20, maybe 30 seconds.
Hey, I'm Lara, an artist, educator, and entrepreneur who's danced through life in Australia, London, and California. Now I'm an Aussie in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, juggling roles as an artist, ex-dancer, current actor, author, professional educator, and qualified life coach. I'm also a wife and mother of two. Join me on this podcast, crafted for creative souls at every level, entrepreneurs, artists, dreamers, and hope-filled humans alike. I'm here to guide you towards a life of love, purpose, adventure, and boundless creativity. As a healthy, wealthy, and wise creative soul, I invite you to hit subscribe for weekly inspiration. Anticipate solo episodes, exclusive interviews with creative luminaries, and insightful discussions with my hottie hubby, Andrew, a specialist performance physical therapist, as we delve into the dynamics of relationships and more. Dive into a 360-degree view of making a creative life you'll love.
I'm with Connection Codes in California right now, a married couple, new friends, Dr. Glenn and Phyllis, who equip families, marriages, and individuals with the tools they need to create a powerfully connected life. And the reason that I wanted to talk to you guys is because my whole world in this podcast is all about artists, and artists are constantly told, know your identity. And that word comes up for us daily.
Hmm.
And the identity of an artist is constantly the first thing that sort of gets under attack because of the nature of what we do.
Mm.
So I want to talk first of all about the fact that that is quite an abstract word for most people, identity. And most of us, when we're told know it, we don't know what it is. So it's like, well, how do I know my identity when I don't know what it is? So can you tell me from your understanding, which is vast and incredible, and we'll talk more about that, your background, in a minute, but what is identity?
Well, we label identity as the border of the puzzle that puts together humans' experience. We consider it the number one fundamental, foundational, most pressing human need. We say you can go without food for weeks, without water for days. You can go without oxygen for minutes. You really can't go without identity for more than about 20, maybe 30 seconds before it becomes really uncomfortable, before we start getting lost from ourselves and we don't know what to do next. And we don't view it as the macro, you know, for faith-based people.
Yeah.
Your identity with God is absolute, stable, you know, unshakable. But we're talking about the micro, the day-to-day, our interactions. You meet someone and they don't really engage with you. Well, you begin to lose identity. You lose your sense of self. You lose the sense that I matter to this person. And we ask the questions, do I exist? Mm. Do I exist to you? Do I matter? Do I matter to you? Do I have value and significance? Do I have value and significance to you? Am I good enough? Am I good enough for you? And if I don't get yes answers to those questions, I very quickly begin losing my sense of identity, the sense that I actually exist, that I matter. And then we're going to have a really difficult time connecting because I don't even get the sense that I matter to you. So I very quickly want to move away from you.
I really love that you say that because it really breaks it down. Mm. And the fact, do I exist? Do I matter? Do I matter to you?
Mm.
You're saying that they're questions everybody has, because I don't know if everyone's aware that we have these questions. So tell me, is this like everybody that asks these questions? And is that science? Like, is that what you've researched?
Yeah. Now, well, one of those pieces, the 1970s, Dr. Ed Tronick did a series of experiments that we call the still face experiments. And the basic setup is a one-year-old little girl is sitting with her mother. And at a given moment, the mom goes still face, just is blank. And she's not, when they were sitting there at the beginning, she's not providing food or candy or toys or anything. And then when the mom goes still face, she's not taking anything away from the baby. She's not pinching the baby or screaming at the baby.
Yeah.
But the baby very quickly begins getting agitated because the baby is losing identity. The baby is losing the sense that I matter to this person, that I exist to this person. And it doesn't matter that it's the baby's biological mother. Because the mom could say, or you and I could sit beside the baby and go, oh, chill out, baby. It's no big deal. This is your biological mother. This is who brought you into the world. This is who's kept you alive for a year. You're fine. But it's not true. And in the video, and it's a great, you can just Google it and watch this original still face video.
Yeah.
The baby notices in 1 second. The baby is just startled.
Oh my gosh,
what just happened?
Yes.
This person who happens to be my biological mother no longer cares about me. I don't even exist to her.
Wow.
And immediately the baby begins escalating and getting agitated.
This is through facial expression and a lack of looking in with your eyes, correct?
Yeah. And I've done this research with, we have 10 grandchildren. And I've done it with all 10 of our grandkids.
That would have been.
And the exact same, pattern occurs. And this, the still face experiments have been replicated so many times that we're very confident in their efficacy, that this is the human condition. This is how humans operate.
I think that, you know, with even not understanding the word identity, which is how you started, is that we, especially in our faith-based community, we've only heard this word used within our relationship with God.
That's so true.
And
oh,
not,
my goodness.
And not realizing that we as humans are in relationship. Mm-hmm. It started from the very beginning.
Yeah.
We were meant to be in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we affect each other greatly.
Yeah.
And so the identity piece in relationship, we often are put into a family. We don't choose our families. We are put into a family. But in that family, and especially with the questions that were presented, you know, do I have value in my family? Do I exist in my family? And it starts very young, where if those are not yes answers, it tears down at the core of who we are.
Wow.
So then we become adults who really have a lack in that department of identity. And then we go out into the workforce.
Wow.
You know, if you're an artist and you are counting on people responding positively to who you are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. And then you go home to a family life where you're also not receiving identity value, or someone isn't saying, yes, you're good enough.
Yeah.
And so that affects at the core who we are.
That really does.
And it's kind of a, when you think about the need for oxygen, it's not an option. You can't go, well, I think today I'll be fine without oxygen.
Mm.
Nope, that is not an option. And so what would it take if we walk into a room and all of a sudden the oxygen is turned off in the room? And we would do anything to get out of that room.
So
we become a worse version of ourselves. We even look like a crazy person trying to get to that oxygen. Well, think of identity in that. We need identity in our relationships.
Mm.
And if we don't know that, we may be surrounded by people who are actually constantly saying, even non-verbally, you're not good enough.
Ouch.
You don't have value.
Yeah.
You're not significant here.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even out of a bad heart. We may just not realize how important it is to show up for each other. And the still face is such a powerful example of, even today, we can so easily stare at each other blankly.
Yeah.
We don't make space for each other. We don't give energy to each other. We don't value each other. And it can become very a chronic thing where we don't have it, so we don't give it.
Yeah.
And the more we don't get it, we don't give it. It's just, you know, in relationships, it can be a really tough.
And I'm sure, because so often, you know, artists fall into, and it's for everybody, but artists in particular, what it looks like, and I'll take the example of an actor, is that their journey starts as this passionate love of creativity and self-expression, which is, this is how I show the world, this is how I show up in the world. And people tend to enjoy it when you're young and you're a child, like you watch your grandchildren if they perform. It's a wonderful experience. You get affirmation from it and it's joyous. And then if you decide to do it for a career, it flips, and then you face being ignored, unseen, glazed over by the industry over and over again, purely because it's like the Olympics. There's just supply and demand. There's so many people attracted to the industry. And I have heard some circles say they're probably attracted to it because they had a lack of identity to begin with and they got validation from it, which is not entirely a bad thing. But then to go out into the industry and face that very soon, 95% of the people we've worked with over our career have fallen into some very deep depressions, purely out of feeling invisible.
Mm.
And I watched a documentary, and I know this is your whole work, where it's talked about this little tribe, like this little like African tribe where a young baby is born and it's like you talk about coded into them to know who I am within this community. But then there's the next part to find my purpose within this community. And I realized I started reflecting on myself and I'm like, I want to know, belong to a community, number one, but that's not enough for me.
Mm.
I want to know my purpose in the community.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, is do I matter?
Mm. Do I have significance?
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have 10 grandchildren. We have a 3-year-old granddaughter. And the other day, Phyllis and I were sitting in our room and she came walking in and she looked at me and she said, "Papa, I can jump on one foot. Watch this."
Gorgeous.
And she, for, 25 seconds, hopped on one foot. And of course, we're just looking at her like, "Wow, that's just so, wow, that's so good." And then she goes, and they call her Honey. And little Ada says, "I could teach Honey how to do this." And so Phyllis stands up. And so the two of them together hop on one foot. So Ada apparently had just discovered that she was capable of hopping on one foot. Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you think about life, the universe.
Yeah.
I could have said to Ada, "You know what? So what? Big deal. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to become a professional one foot." But she's receiving identity because I'm like, "Oh, wow, look at you." And then she teaches her, her grandmother how to hop on one foot. And then, we're probably 45 seconds in.
Yeah.
And Ada leaves the room with a tremendous amount of identity that she just accomplished something. She just nailed that.
Yeah.
With Honey and Poppy. Mm.
I love to think about just even the numbers. If we had on us an identity meter, let's say it goes from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So in life, we're surrounded by humans. We're in different relationships. So let's say in your home, your identity meter, where do I have value? Yep, 100%. Is there significance? Absolutely, 100%. Am I good enough? Yes, 100%.
Mm.
And then I go into the work world as an artist, and perhaps I'm going through a tough season. And so I don't get the numbers. I get more like, 20%. I'm not sure that I have value here.
Mm.
And we're looking for higher numbers, right?
Yeah.
But I think the real problem comes in is if at home, we're also getting those wow numbers. So if at home, you don't feel valued, you don't feel good enough, you don't feel that you matter, and your numbers are low, and then you go into the work world, you go in as an artist, and then you're also receiving that, no, you don't have value.
Oh, wow.
That is the lack of oxygen in that your body can't survive.
It's so good that you are demystifying this because I think we feel guilty and ashamed that is part of the industry's struggle. And no one wants to talk about it because it's like admitting I'm not working or I haven't got the job or I haven't been seen. Therefore, I don't have value and I don't want you to know that. So we don't talk about it.
Yeah,
don't share about it. And yet it's what's the statistics of like 95% of actors are unemployed. And it's not just actors, but it's just a really good example because of the nature of the demand for that. Talk about the LA communities, the London communities, those sorts of people. Good God, I'm gonna do this. What you say is so important. So what happens when you take what you just said and there's somebody that's not getting it at home, not getting it from what they're doing as a job, and yet they still yearn to do it, which might sound like insanity, but this is what we're around daily. There is such a passion to do it. And you've probably seen that around your community in Nashville. People keep doing it and they keep putting themselves through that. How does one in that position even begin to get identity when it's not, where do you get it from?
Well, I think that part of it is, though, you do have to build a community where you do get it.
That's so good.
Not from your work, not from your passion, not from what burns inside you, but actually the community that you live with.
Wow, that's so important.
It is. Yeah. It is so important. And I think that we don't realize you can actually get it. Mm. I think we accept a family that doesn't give it to us. We accept a relationship that is constantly saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And those are what we would say is toxic. That word, you know, we're familiar with that word. And I think that at times, even in our, as people of faith, in our church communities, if you are in a community of faith that where you walk out lonely, where you walk out and you feel like, oh my word, week after week, I show up and I don't feel like I matter.
Yeah.
Like I have any value here.
Wow.
You need to find a different community.
Yeah. Wow. That's really empowering.
Yes. And you can't give up on that. You really can't.
Well, we've super spiritualized that. So, well, you've failed.
Yeah.
And you should, but yet you're talking about, oh my goodness, you're talking about oxygen.
Mm.
You're talking about something that is beyond important, and yet we've super spiritualized it and said, if you leave, it's almost like a sin.
Yes.
Or you are church hopping. And we've never talked about the fact that people want connection.
Yeah.
And how vital it is to our survival and our being. And you've talked about loneliness with us this week, and that loneliness is incredibly, toxic.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the word.
Absolutely.
It breaks my heart when I see somebody alone and without community. And it's about our blueprint, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me about that, like the fact that we're designed to not be alone.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do when we see people that are alone? Like, how do we pull them out of it? Like, how do we connect more? What are the tools is a good question that we can do to be more available to each other without burning ourselves out?
Because
you're not talking about invite everyone over for coffee.
Yeah.
It's about quick connections through the day.
Yeah.
Quick adjustments, right? Tell me about the quick adjustments we can make.
Right, and that's part of our dream of the Global Quest. We have about 8 billion people we're trying to reach with the connection
codes. I love that.
We're old, so we have to hurry up. That our vision, our dream is that we're able to process these things through very quickly. When Ada came in to show me how impressive it was that she could hop on one foot, and then she graciously decided to help her grandmother do the same thing, it's just a little snippet. It's just a little interaction. And again, probably lasted way less than a minute.
Yeah.
And then that's done. Now, that doesn't mean that Ada won't be looking for identity again in 20 minutes or an hour or whatever. So, but one of the tools that we talk about, and I should mention that we say that the connection codes are the blueprint of how people connect in relationships, but they're also a set of tools.
Mm.
The blueprint part is just the scientific. This is the human condition. We didn't invent that.
Yeah.
It existed long before we were alive. The tools are just a set of tools that we develop to help people get to this. And one of those tools is what we call the ooh, just learning to ooh each other, be present with each other. 35 years ago, I lost identity with Phyllis all the time. I mean, every day, all day long, day after week, after month, after year. And I didn't know how to convey that to her.
Mm.
Today, it doesn't mean that I don't lose identity with her. The trick is I'm able to convey it to her.
Yes.
I'm literally able to say to her, oh, babe, I kind of lost some identity there in that particular situation, that setting, that interaction. Yeah. And she's able to literally just go, oh, okay, so what happened there for you?
Mm.
I tell her, we process it through literally in 20 seconds.
Wow.
Blows my mind. If you told me this 30 years ago, it was possible, I probably would have punched you. Because we're living in this pain all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. And now we marvel, and we're some of the most passionate people in the world about the connection goes, because we get to live it. And we had no idea that this level of connection was possible. So if we can shift our culture so that we're able simply to ooh each other, be present with each other, I'm not blaming you that I lost identity. I just lost identity in that moment.
Yes.
I think we spend a lot of energy thinking we have to be someone we really aren't.
Mm.
And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
For you to like me, for even the question, like, am I good enough for you? Okay.
Mm.
If I'm hearing, not even with words, but that I'm not good enough for you, I'm going to try to be good enough for you.
Mm. Yeah. That's
and that's true. So exhausting. And so I'm spending so much energy in a relationship where I'm not going to get that. And sometimes it's our family of origin. Sometimes it's with our parents, our siblings, or our grandparents, where no matter what we do, we're not going to be good enough. And that is so draining. And to realize I need to find a community that actually celebrates me in all of my quirkiness and all my oddness and all of my weirdness. And, I wish we had hours. I wish we could sit here for 6 hours and talk about the connection codes, because I think about, I'm married to someone who's got a bit of disorder of the psyche. And
that's so sweet.
And that brings some weirdness, true. Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of weirdness at times. Mm-hmm. But I want him to have a community where he's celebrated and where he's loved and that he doesn't have to fake it and perform. But as a teenager, as a young man, he learned to fake it. Mm. Yeah. And I met him when he was 16. I was 15. He was the life of the party.
Yeah.
He was funny. He was loud. He would walk in the room and everyone would know he came in.
Yeah. That was actually very cute.
Yes.
Very good looking.
And he did so well in drama and perform in music and he was very talented and gift those things. But he was dying inside because he was faking the whole
time. He was performing to everybody.
He was performing 24 hours a day.
That's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And in that world, he believed he was good enough. He believed he mattered.
Yeah.
And yet the exhaustion, the fake, the I can't let anyone see that I'm not perfect caused him to even more so develop the walls. And he didn't trust me even when we married. And it wasn't about me. It was about the fact that he didn't believe that anyone would love him if they saw the real him.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Really.
And that is a lack of oxygen.
That is a lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
I really relate to that story. I relate to it so much. To the point that once a pastor stopped me and said, stop trying so hard. And I didn't know what he was saying.
Right.
Because I couldn't see it. But I was doing the exact same thing.
Mm.
I was trying so hard, probably because I had a lack in my upbringing, was trying with all my might to be noticed and to matter, which are good things. But it's that thing where it's coming from the deficit, isn't it, instead of the fullness. And now it's like I spend a lot of self-talk just taking, Lara, take a breath. You can just be present with this person. I have to talk myself into that, which is great. I'm aware of it. And say, you don't need to perform and you don't need to strive for their attention. If they don't get it, if they don't give it to you, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's particularly in the arts, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of kissy, kissy, network. You know, if I know you, I'll get promoted. And it's that thing where you go, I have to trust that who God has made me to be is enough. And there's healing in that awareness. And I think a lot of it comes, like, people can talk to someone, can't they? What do we do? What are some, other than the connection codes, which I'll get you to share where they can find them, but just sort of in closing, where can people go? What do you recommend? Like a couple of steps for, do we go to a counselor? Do we go to a psychologist? And when we have that deficit from upbringing, what do you recommend that we do in order to stop doing what we just talked about, performing for everybody? Yeah.
Well, I'll answer your question by not answering.
Yeah.
Number one, I do strongly recommend the connection codes just because it will help people to understand the whole picture of the human condition.
Yeah.
But also, what I learned, it took me 4 decades to learn it, is that there were people I needed to move away from.
That's
now, we're adults, we have responsibilities, and some people, you're kind of stuck in this situation. But I spent so much time and energy with people that were never going to be close to me. They were never going to be kind to me. And again, I'm not allowed to go burn their house down or their car. But I'm not supposed to be exhausting myself trying to connect. And I always say, I'm the educated one, Phyllis is the smart one. And she's the one that always figures stuff out. And she asked me one day, she said, babe, why do you pursue relationships with people that don't want a relationship with you? And I gasped. I thought that was blasphemous. I'm like, well, that's what God wants us to do. She's like, no, it's not. And actually, if you examine scripture, it's almost the opposite.
Wow.
We're supposed to move away from people, and don't be mean to them. Don't go key their car. But move away from the people that where you lose so much identity. And it may be a scenario where you have to do some of it, but as much as possible. So now I hang out with people who see me, where I feel heard.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind, the energy that I experience every day, because I'm not exhausting myself hoping that, you know, at some point they'll like me, they'll accept me. And when that conversation, our adult children got in on it, and they're like, yeah, that's what you've always done. You expend all your time and energy on people who are never going to be kind to you. They spit on you, and you invite them over for dinner, so they can spit on you in your own home. And that kind of blew my mind. The concept of that. So now I hang out with people who are kind to me, and they know that I'm weird and they don't care. We have a lot of fun together. It's amazing.
I really love what you say, because you're just taking away, like, it's actually normal, I think, this journey. And so often we feel so ashamed for not having it all together
and not being perfect. And admitting that sometimes we feel lonely, and that we're feeling like people aren't seeing who we really are. And I think it's just so powerful to get permission from somebody to say it's okay to move away. What you said's very powerful. Okay. I want to finish with a little bit. It's a little left of center from where we've been, because that was deep. But I want to finish with, where can people find you online? If they want more of this and they want to hear more.
Well, and I do want to say, because you asked a minute ago, as far as when people realize, whoa, this is, I'm off in this, I'm out of balance in this, do I need therapy? For many of us, we can't afford therapy, number one. Number two, how do you find a good therapist, right? So it's a little challenging. It is. We have developed tools that we have intentionally created that are simple, that you can do on your own. You can do this journey. You can find this. And so by going to our website at connectioncodes.co, you can see that we have e-courses. We have a book that's out on Amazon, the Connection Codes book. And it is full of this type of information, but it's not just a bunch of theory. It is the actual tools. It is teaching you how to recognize this in your own life, and then how to change it, and to develop really healthy relationships so that you can pursue your dream, so you can be the best actor, the best person, and really gain from that, instead of it being always such a struggle. So also, we do have an Instagram presence at Connection Codes, where we have a lot of information that goes out all the time, and even videos, both with testimonials, but also with just short clips of teaching these tools. And so there's multiple ways that you can get more information.
One other tidbit real quickly is just that part of our dream with the Connection Codes was that it is very implementable. We don't talk theory. This is, and first of all, it's not a theory, it's not a philosophy, it's just the scientific essence of the human condition. But when we were developing the tools, we wanted people to know what to do next. We don't want to just mesmerize people and they walk away going, oh, Dr. Glenn's so funny and intelligent and educated. And I don't have a clue what to do now, but it's really interesting. We don't gain anything. So my goal is that people literally, and we don't have a 6-month plan for people. We literally want them to feel the effect of this in 20 minutes, in 30 minutes, that today their relationship has actually shifted. And we hear these stories around the world now from people who are like, whoa, this revolutionized everything for us in a week. And we've been in therapy for 4 years. And literally, just in a few hours, this shifted.
We've had a shift.
I
have to tell you a fun fact, because earlier this week, you spoke to all of the artists in the community that we're in right now, and something funny has happened since then.
Based on what you just said, that sort of the 20 seconds, the very next moments after your talk, many people were like booing each other. Many people were like, oh, I know what's going on for me now. I know why I got angry yesterday. And the best part is a lot of my acting students were like, using it as an acting technique. They were using the wheel, which you can find online, guys, for the listeners. Still facing her right now, and they're making it as an acting choice, because there's a lot of psychology in that. And I was like, this is good. It's become an acting tool. So there you go. Isn't that funny? I thought that was great. We're adding it into our actor's toolkit in class. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Phew, today's masterclass is done. I love reaching back and saying I've done this and helping you learn the easy way. If you want more, head to larabiancapilcher.com for show notes, links, freebies, my blog, coaching and courses, and you can also head to my socials, Lara Bianca Pilcher on Instagram and Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Pinterest. Thanks again for listening. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean the world to me. And of course, keep on living the healthy, wealthy, wise artist living towards your dream life. Bye, friends. P.S. Shout out to my hottie hubby, Andrew Pilcher, who does all the editing on this podcast.